If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is God's word. You may be seated. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And just for a few moments, we'd like to share with this, as Spirit of God would allow, never alone. Never alone. Let the folks on the outside come in. That phone that I just heard that will be cut off is a reminder of the world in which we live. We live in a world that seemingly, because of the technology, we have satellites that always used to be only used for spaceships. Now we use them for our cars. GPS, amen. And now allows you to have cable. It allows you to look across the world and into space in moments of time. We have cell phones that allows you to stay in contact. And you, these cell phones, again, the things that we have, and the computers, if you was to do a little historical study and see the size of these instruments and devices that we have. Computers were the size of rooms. Amen. And now you can put them in your pocket. Amen. The technology has allowed the world to some degree come closer together. And yet, I'm here to say that you probably have more lonely people in the world than there's ever been. Because when God made us, he did not make us for isolation. He made us in his image and likeness as a prototype of the relationship that's found intricately between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God made us as in a matter that we ought to be camaraderie, have camaraderie in communion and companionship with one another. There is not a mistake, that even though it might not be in the Bible, it is a truism, that no man is an island. And yet again, we have so much of this going on with isolation and loneliness and aloneness. Those are not necessarily the same things. To be alone means to be separate from, or separate from, or apart from, even to be isolated from people. That's a social connotation. That's something that's basically outward, where you are physically not around others. But then lonely, to be lonely is different. To be lonely is an emotional and psychological condition. Amen. It is your feelings are involved. And yes, you can be alone and not be lonely. But usually loneliness can come from being alone. Are y'all following me here? And this is a worldwide situation. And yet when we find in the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we was sharing with you last Sunday, and we were going over how the Lord as if he's about to go back to his Father. And he was here in this upper room in a time of fellowship and intimacy with his disciples. They had been ministering for 3 years, Christ having been anointed by the Holy Ghost. And let me add, he did not become the Son of God when the Spirit came upon him. He always was and is the Son of God. But his ministry outwardly, in terms of its manifestation, as spoken to us and prophesied by Isaiah, it began to be evident to the people that were there. John the Baptist coincided by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And even as we go through the life of Christ on earth, and I would suggest and admonish us that we would do that sometime, that even though we like other doctrines and other books, amen, at the core and the center, we should watch Jesus walk on ground. Amen. And so watching his life, and we mentioned that as it began, because of the uniqueness of him and his ministry, there were those who were willing to follow him. Amen. Some, of course, were in there for the bread and the loaves. Amen. And others because of the necessity and the need for them to be ministered to. And the whole lot of folks, again, with a lot of people, even if it wasn't for the physical healing that they were looking for, it was healing on the inside. One time Christ looked at those who had been listening to him and he looked out among them. He said, "They look like a sheep without a shepherd." And yet as Christ began to minister, as the Lord Jesus' ministry began to grow and his fame increased, the renown of his ministry and who he was began to spread out throughout that world and that time of Judea and Jerusalem. Let me say this to you too, that if you look at the life of Christ, if you would take a map and watch all that's going on, it would even be even magnified more because he was not all over the known world at that time. But his ministry was situated and done throughout the circumference of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Capernaum, and things like that. But even that being said, there was nothing and no one like Jesus. People were following him around, but as we would hasten to say, as he, however, began to talk about going to the cross, that was very unpopular, both to those who were around him and also the disciples who followed him. Some thought, that some could conceive or construe, one, the Pharisees and those who despised and hated Christ. It was something they would want to hear because Jesus had gotten away of all the perks that they had while he wasn't around. That's why he said, "I am the light of the world," because what they were false lights, amen, representing the true God. But here it is, the Son of God has come, and he began to demonstrate what God was really like. And they didn't like that. But also, for some, he was their meal ticket. Amen. And for him to talk about he was about to go away, they could see again the frittering away of what they depended upon from him, apart from just personally wanting to be followers of Christ. And then, saints, even get even closer to home, the disciples, after he kind of whittled it down, because, you know, you can start with a whole lot of people. Amen. Crowds are easy. Ain't that right? But God never was into crowds. He was into consecration and commitment. And the Lord Jesus began to minister in the crowds. However, as Christ began to get closer to the cross and the crowds began to thin out. Amen. Some of them, because they didn't want to get in trouble with the Pharisees, and then because of the religious aristocracy holds sway when it comes time for you to have the ability to go to the temple and the synagogue. Matter of fact, the scripture even said that some of its priests believed in him, but they didn't confess him because they didn't want to get kicked out of their place in the synagogue. Don't that sound familiar? Amen. And so the Lord Jesus began to see the thinning out of even the disciples at one point, which I love in John, where some of them, as the Lord Jesus began to teach about how they are to assimilate him into the very life, into the very being. And he said, "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood," and that kind of talk was didn't sit well with some of them. And so they began to leave and walk away from him. And then this haunting statement Jesus made when he says to them, he turned to the disciples and to Peter and them and said, "Will you go also?" And to me, again, for someone else, if you don't look in the intonation of Scripture, it might seem like it's somebody who was wondering, worrying whether he would be alone by himself. If he said he saw all these other people walk away from him, those who were with him, those folks in it who said, I'll go with you all the way. Yeah. Amen. And yet they see the side begin to peel off and leave. And where the Scripture puts him, they left. That means they were not coming back. Yes, sir. And yet Jesus turned to those who he had called and chosen. And he said, will you leave also? Thank God for Peter. Amen. You can get them all you want to. Talk about all you can. You can all talk about how Peter always kept a foot in his mouth. Yes, but Peter said, listen here, Lord. And I used to say it like this, where shall we go? But it's not where shall we go. To whom shall we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. And brothers and sisters, again, at that moment, at that time, if you begin to look at it again, as the crowds begin to wean down and Christ began to become a point of dispute and discussion and disruption. And so we find here in John chapter 13 where he's with the disciples, and we were reiterating last week how the Lord Jesus gave us how we are to live in community as believers. And again, this word community, again, is not used a lot of time in our churches, but it speaks towards, again, how we ought to see ourselves as saints of God. Amen. That we are not isolated church members. But we have been joined as one body in Christ. I'll get to that in a minute. But let me get real time and historical with you. We're back here with Christ as he's with his disciples in the upper room, and they are having a time of communion, which we call the Last Supper. But all for the Lord Jesus himself, he knows again that this is the Last Supper, but only on this side. Amen. But the disciples, they don't see it that way. They see their master, their rabbi. They see the one who took care of them. And listen to me now, these are grown men. Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, according to the flesh, Jesus Christ is about the same age they are. He's not some older man, per se, that's walking with younger men. No, they are, in terms of that, they have the same age that they are. But Jesus, however, has commanded their fellowship because of who he is. He's not like other men. He is God in the flesh. And yet he was down, excuse the expression, if I can use it as a pun, he is down to earth. So as he began to minister to them, as time got short, and they began to depend upon him, not just only physically per se, but emotionally. They love Rabbi. They love the Master. They love God with what? With whatever they had to love him with. Amen. I mean, sometimes their love was challenged, but he gave them a sense of security and a sense of significance. If I will go so as to say philosophically, that's some of you here to say that that's when God made us. Those were some of the traits that was given to human beings. And when being the image and likeness of God is more intricate than that, but in the nonetheless, all people have want to have some measure of significance and security. Ain't that right? Come on here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You can try to act all tough all you want to. But at some point in your life, amen, you're going to think about it when things come up and things happen that you wish, again, you had more friends. Or if you didn't have more friends, you might want to have less friends because of the friends you have. Somebody help me here. Don't ever be fooled by it. You can be lonely in a crowd. And so the Lord began to minister to them. And so the last thing they wanted to hear were these words from him talking about he's going to be crucified. And it didn't occur, and I mentioned to you, it did not sit in on them fully what he was saying. They didn't understand. They just heard those words. All they heard was, he's going away. Are y'all with me here? And those words can strike in your heart sometimes when you've been used to something or someone that caused you to feel confident or gave you to think or to say to yourself or your soul or your inner person that, you know, as long as this is like this, or as long as this is around or they're around, this is going to enable me again to feel comfortable in my existence because I develop a measure of security while things are like this. For some people, it's their money. Amen. Some folk, that's right. You wonder why, you know, folk can act the way they do and be willing again to even take their life because they have been, their soul, their heart was set on money. Their security was in these kind of material things. And when they began to conceive that I can't live without money, they literally say, I can't live without money. So if I don't have money, I can't live.